Welcome to the Jeffers Brief, only on Contra Radio Network.
And good evening, John Jeffers here, September 24th, here on the Jeffers Brief, only on Contra Radio Network. Soon, to be on KYAH out of Delta, Utah. That'd be 540 on your AM dial. They are the talk authority of Utah. Well, that's what they say. And it must be true. Tonight, I want to talk about, I got four subjects I want to talk to you about tonight. And the first one is prepper burnout. Prepper burnout. We want to talk about, well, if you're not sure what it is, it's this. Sometimes we get to the point where that's all we're doing. We are consumed by prepping. We got to prepare, got to prepare, got to prepare. I got to reload 500 rounds. I got to cut the grass. Oh, wait, I got to get online. They're having a sale on freeze-dried food. I got to get this. Oh, wait. I got to clean the weapons. Oh, wait. You know, and you get, you know, you got 10 fingers and you got 14 pies. It's hard to, you know, spread yourself around like that. And I've told you the story of a woman I know, her husband. He's into prepping to the point he doesn't even go out anymore. All he does is sit at home watching the news. Waiting, gotta jump on it right away. He forgot to live life. I don't want to see that happen to you. For you new preppers out there, beware of it. You experienced and seasoned preppers, you know what I'm talking about. So, I found this. It was at readynutrition.com. I thought, what a good subject. And it's prepper burnout. Five healthy ways to deal with it. You know, every article you read, they stress the precept, you know, don't stop training. And you should still stand by it. Who is this written by the way? I like to give credit where credit is due. Jeremiah Johnson, the mountain man. Look, I like to give credit where credit is due. Don't want to take credit for work I did not do. So there we are. So, you know, you still stand by it. However, there are times when as a prepper, a survivalist, a constitutional patriot, or whatever label you wish to apply to yourself, you may feel burned out or lackadaisical. It happens to all of us. We have a tremendous amount of people feeling this way since the presidential elections of 2016. Many are questioning, what need is there to prepare for the end of the world or a collapse? It's true. As a side note, you know that if you've been following this show, you know, since we debuted on Blog Talk Radio back in 2014. After the election in 2016, our numbers went. Everybody took a big sigh of relief. I'm safe now. Everything's going to be okay. And if that's the reason why you're prepping to begin with, perhaps you need to reevaluate your decision to live that lifestyle. And it's an excellent question. It is best answered thusly, to paraphrase upgraded. Is the election of President Trump a guarantee that a collapse or a, you know, shit hits the fan scenario will no longer happen? I have to watch my language. So we're going to change it to crap hits the fan. And I'll tell you why. Because when we're on KYAH, I can't say those words. So the answer is that it is not a guarantee of such. There are plenty of different things happening around the world. Now, North Korea is written off as a threat in the minds of many at the time of the summit meetings, only to be revealing its fangs once again. Russia, every Hollywood film has painted them as the boogeyman, is still an issue, as are China and Iran. Which, by the way, side note here, Iran is blaming the United States for their own terror attack they suffered during one of their parades over the, Saturday or Sunday. In which people were shot and killed. That's not a good thing. Of course, you know, it has. I don't even want to think how they would even get people in there to begin with. But anyways, that's another story. Ebola is breaking out in the Congo. and the economies of the world are on shaky ground. All the more reason to continue to train and prepare, but how do we deal with burnout? That's really the issue. So the answer is simple, and we're rendered in one word: balance. It's not an oversimplification. It is a word that means several different actions and different categories of preparation. So let's cover a few of them and explore the concept. And for those of you that don't know, I've got Justin. Justin disappeared. I had Justin on the line with me. That was the signal that he had hung up or lost me or whatever. That's okay. So, number one, physical training. Overtraining here can be potentially almost self-explanatory, but is more involved than it appears on the surface. So when you work out a muscle group, there are two types of physical recoveries that are taking place after the workout is done: local and systemic. Local involves the muscles themselves, now in a catabolic state that needs the replenishment of nutrients such as proteins and vitamins. The actual rest from physical activity. Now, systemic involves the organs, liver, heart, kidney, lungs, and so forth. These too need recovery from the toxins produced during the course of the workout. They do not experience the same growth as muscle tissue, yet the demands placed upon them are even more to compensate physically for what you've done to yourself with the workout. Whether you're a strength trainer with weights or an endurance trainer with marathons or long distance marches, you need to give your body time to replenish and compensate after the exercise. Number two, cross training. You may have as your forte and profession the skills of a mechanic. At the end of the day, that is your main skill and interest. To give your mind a rest and also to explore other areas, you may wish to train in other skills. How about acquiring the skills of a welder? You can even pick up some training on heavy equipment or driving certain types of vehicles. These would complement your main profession, or find something to study that is totally different. You can never learn too much, and every skill you pick up is good for you down the road. Number three, supplies. Are there ever really enough? No, there are not. Your budget and time constraints, however, may say otherwise, at least temporarily. Then do something different with the existing supplies to improve them, such as store them in a special order or with a new inventory system. Take factors such as time, temperature, humidity, dates gathered, and fine-tune your warehouse or, disaster lauders. You know what I'm saying? Number four, family time. This is important. Give your mind a hiatus by having days when you're not focused on anything but having a good time and enjoying each other's company, whether it's out to dinner, having dinner or movie night at home, or activities with your church or any organization you may belong to. Having normal, which is a better word, is unstressed, family time is just as important as preparing them for the next disaster to come up. Number five, activities with dual purposes. For you overachievers out there, this is right up your alley. Make a project that will have more than one use or benefit, with one being a happy hallmark family purpose and the other a backup for disaster, a secondary purpose. An in-ground swimming pool is a great example of this. Think of all that you guys could do with a pool in your backyard: barbecues, family gatherings, as such. Think also the training that you can do. Swimming is excellent for physical training. Disaster wise, think of it as an in-ground reservoir you've built in the event of emergency. In this case, one stone gets three birds. Yeah? Okay. Underlying to all this is your mind. You must constantly replenish the most valuable and finite resource through proper diet, exercise, and meditation. You must also give your mind a hiatus from too much activity. When I don't meditate, and I think in this terms what Mr. Johnson is talking about is take some time and think things through. Think about things all the way down the line. Try to think of different avenues, different approaches. And before you know it, your mind will be wandering to different subjects without you even realizing it, and that's okay. Be aware, but do not be troubled, alarmed, or worried. Handle things in a controlled fashion. Work on mental discipline and concentration to be able to take care of things as they arise. One thing I like to do when I meditate, I like to play a game with myself, and that is this. If such and such happens, what is my response? What is whatever, you know, the situation may be? It doesn't have to be a person. It could be a situation. And then I concentrate on this. How do I make good decisions? You know, learning how to make good decisions doesn't just come naturally. You have to think about it. You have to learn. You have to think about things. Learn to think about things 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 steps down the road. You know what I'm saying? Now, there's a time for all things. And as such, also a time not for all things. Know when to draw the line on excess and maintain balance in your life. You can do all this without relenting or letting up on your proper posture or being able to shift into action at any given time. Be as the lion, strong and prepared, resting on the grass, yet mindful of the cubs, ready to spring to their defense when danger threatens. Your preparations are an investment. And make sure you take some of that larder before you pack it away. Have a nice dinner with a portion of it with your family. Balance in all areas and readiness when the time comes. Look to the lion and look out for one another. What do you think about that? I think I like it because too many of us get wrapped up in this. It's just unbelievable sometimes. And by the time we realize that we're doing it, we've been doing it for a lot longer than we realize. And we really need to spend time with people and our families. Excuse me. Because the bottom line is this. That's why you're prepping. You're prepping for them. You are. You're not. If you're just prepping for yourself, okay, do whatever you want to do. But balance. Balance is the key. In all things, it really is. Just so I wanted to put it out there. Just wanted to put it out there for you. Now, if you want to know who Jeremiah Johnson is, obviously, that's not his real name. He's a retired Green Beret in the U.S. Army Special Forces. He served as a medic, EMT, and ACLS certified with comprehensive training in wilderness survival, rescue, and patient extraction. He is a certified master herbalist and a graduate of the Global College of Natural Medicine in Santa Ana, California. A graduate of the U.S. Army Survival Course of SEER School. If you should remember, know what SEER, S-E-R-E, it's Survival, Evasion, Resistance, and Escape. It's a brutal school. Mr. Johnson also successfully completed the Montana Master Food Preserver Course for home canning, smoking, and dehydrating foods. Just, you know, I'd like to kind of get you a little taste of, you know, who we're talking about and why. All right. No one else has called. That's okay. Next, we have to talk about this. And we all, if you don't have it, you need to get it. And if you got it, well, you know, you got it. Let's talk about body armor for urban survival. Here's what you need. By Nicholas Otken. Dum-da-dum-da-dum. One of the most overlooked pieces of tactical equipment for civilians is, without question, is body armor. Now, many people are under the impression that body armor is for the military and law enforcement only. Could not be further from the truth. Not only is body armor fully legal in all 50 states, it's widely available too, and it's affordable. So, when you are preparing for a crap hits the fan in disaster scenarios, body armor is definitely something you'll want to have in your arsenal. Let's talk about body armor and what it is in greater depth. Oh, what do we have to do here? Hold on. What is this? I'm sorry, I'm looking up at my other screen. It's like, what is this? What is this? Well, I gotta see this now. Huh. I hate doing this, but I gotta see it now. Where is that? That's cool. Okay. We're good. Hey, before we get started, I had to find this. My good friend, Randy Cooley, I told him I'd run him some ads. And so give me a minute. We'll be back in, about a minute or so? Yeah? Okay. And, of course, Banjo the Wonder Maligator is in the studio with me. We'll be right back after this, I think. maybe.
Contra Radio listeners, this is Randy from Bulldog Custom Gun Leather. I've been building the finest custom leather holsters that many can buy for the past 12 years. I'm a retired 35-year veteran police officer and have carried a concealed firearm daily for the past 42 years. I know what works and what doesn't work for the safe and comfortable carrying of concealed firearms. I use only the finest premium cowhide tanned in the USA. Bulldog Custom Gun Leather is not a large holster manufacturer and never will be. All my holsters are handcrafted one at a time by me in my shop located in Fort Smith, Arkansas. My website address is www.bulldogleathercompany.com. That's bulldogleathercompany.com. Mention Contra Radio and receive a 10% discount on your order. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Randy. Like I said, you mentioned Contra Radio Network, you get 10% discount. I have his holsters. Here's a question for you real quick before we get started again. Why would you buy a $600 pistol and put it into a $30 holster or a $25 holster or a $15 holster? Why? No. Get hold of Randy. He'll make you a fine, fine holster. He does nice work. He really does. So what is body armor? Body armor is admittedly a very loose term. It's often interchanged with other terms such as bulletproof vest and bullet-resistant vest. However, body armor is not necessarily bulletproof. In fact, body armor can be used to refer to any kind of covering to protect your body. Even a helmet could classify as body armor if you want it to. Today, however, body armor is sometimes used to refer to vests or other protective coverings made out of ultra-high molecular weight polyethylene. I'll say it again. Made out of ultra-high molecular weight polyethylene. These are essentially plastics that have been tightly woven together at its strength. The fibers can also disperse a bullet's energy as it travels through the various layers, so even it can stop. So even it can't stop the bullet completely. It can at least, very least, slow it down by a significant margin. Something I want you to understand. You get by the bullet, you're going down. There's a lot of kinetic energy. Most of the time, when you get hit afterwards, there's a bloody, bloody bruise there. Because it could very well penetrate the skin, just the shock. And it hurts like hell. And it might even burn a little bit. But that's from the high energy being dissipated by the panels. Okay. So another type of body armor that is quite used is steel or titanium plates that are carried around in torso plate carriers. Now this type of body armor is much heavier, but it also offers significantly greater protection for the ultra-high molecular weight polyethylene. That's true. So fitting your body armor. Regardless of which type of body armor you get, it is important for you to maintain to cover the main areas of your torso, your back, front, and sides. The armor will need to be properly positioned and correctly adjusted. Otherwise, it won't offer you sufficient protection, especially for your ribs and vital organs. You're going to break a rib. I guarantee it, and it's going to hurt. I don't know if I want to say this. I'm going to tell you. If you have body armor and you don't put it snug, use a Velcro, put it on your torso, and you just leave it kind of hanging there, like just around your neck, you don't wrap it, you don't strap it, and you get shot, guess what's going to happen? That bullet's going right through that vest. It's not even going to slow down because there's nothing to back it up. It's just right through. That's why it's always important, if you're going to wear body armor, strap it on. Wear it properly. Now, do you really need body armor? Short question to this answer is, it's up to you. But in all seriousness, body armor can quite literally be a lifesaver in a defensive scenario. Just imagine that disaster struck, the power grid has collapsed, and now you have to defend your home, property, family, and supplies against raiders and marauders. Sure, you may be armed, but those raiders and marauders will be armed too. Wouldn't it be preferable to have at least some degree of protection to hopefully stop a bullet or shrapnel? You decide. It's up to you. You know, my department used to be the policy when I first, just before I joined them, they had a shooting. A deputy was shot and killed. And the policy at the time was, if you want to wear body armor, you can, you don't have to. After the incident, it became mandatory. If you work the streets, you will wear body armor. Period. No questions asked. So, they kind of took that choice away from us, and I understand it. I wore mine every day. If I was at work, that went on. Period. So, is body armor for sure going to save your life? No. It's possible that body armor will save your life, but it's not guaranteed by any means. For example, most bulletproof types of body armor that are sold on the market will do a fine job of stopping a 9mm or a similar pistol caliber, but they can't resist a much higher caliber such as a 5.56 NATO or 308 Winchester round. At least it doesn't have a high enough NIJ rating, which we'll go into in a second. That's the National Institute of Justice. They test all body armor. So while body armor cannot save your life for sure, it can at very least increase your chances of survival. And that's really what matters. Now, what's an NIJ rating? NIJ rating. What is it? Why it's important? When you go shopping for body armor, the most important factor to consider is the body armor's NIJ rating. NIJ stands for the National Institute of Justice. Their rating system is today widely used around the entire world as the ballistic standard of resistance. Any body armor that you can buy from a reputable manufacturer is going to have an NIJ rating. In fact, if it doesn't have an NIJ rating, that's good enough reason not to buy that type of body armor. Now, here are the levels of the NIJ rating system and the bullets that they will be able to stop. A level 1 is 22. Level 2A, 9mm Luger and a 40 caliber Smith & Wesson. Level 2 is 357 Magnum. Level 3A is 44 Magnum. Level 3 is a 308 Winchester. And level 4, a 30-06 Springfield armor-piercing rounds. Now the vast majority of so-called bulletproof body armor on the market will have a rating level of 2A or lower. So if you want body armor that can stop a rifle bullet, you'll want level 3 or higher. There are many types of body armor in the market. We're going to go over that right now. You have soft body armor. Now, soft body armor is designed to stop a round from penetrating through the armor by rapidly decelerating it and hopefully resulting in it falling out, sort of like water coming out of a sponge. Now, soft body armor can work, but it really depends on what the condition of the vest is in and what type of bullets are being fired. Many types of soft side body armor are rated for pistol calibers of 9mm Luger or less, so NIJ level 2A or less. And they can usually only take a small number of rounds before failing, as the armor will weaken after each shot. Then we have ceramic plates. Now, soft armor usually works for preventing handgun rounds, but it is far less effective for rifle caliber rounds, if even effective at all. That is why you'll want hard steel plates for resisting rifle rounds. Plates can be constructed from a wide variety of materials, but ceramic is the most common, which has been around for several years. Ceramic works to fracture the impact of the bullet while simultaneously slowing it down. Meanwhile, the Kevlar, which serves as the backing material, will keep the round inside of the plate. Plate, shot, it comes through here, and you got the Kevlar here. So it would look like this. Boink, boink. See, like that. Okay. I'd like to demonstrate. The only downside to ceramic is that it really works for taking multiple rounds, as the plate weakens significantly with each firing round that comes into contact with it. It's also heavy, and you'll need an additional carrier of some kind to wear it. Usually, what will happen is you'll have your Kevlar carrier, the Kevlar will be in, and then there'll be another small part for where your vital organs is, what we would call center mass, and that's where the plate usually goes into. Now you have polyethylene plates. Another type of plate that has become very popular in recent years is the polyethylene plate, also known as poly plates for short. It's a high-quality plastic that has the ability to stop rifle rounds because it will stop the incoming round and break it apart upon impact. What's more, it is far lighter than ceramic, which can add as much as 15 pounds to your already heavy gear load. Then you have steel plates. Now, steel isn't used as often today, at least not by professional operators, because it's very heavy. Still, a strong enough steel is quite cheap and will reliably prevent rifle rounds, which can make them an effective choice for those on a budget. Now let's choose a carrier. When you choose to have body armor, you also need to have a carrier regardless of whether you go with soft armor or hard armor. The best armor carriers are built of either polyester or cotton and have Velcro straps as well. There are two kinds of armor carriers: plate carriers, full carriers. Plate carriers can only carry hard carriers like steel or ceramic, while full carriers can either carry either hard or soft armor, which obviously makes them more versatile. You can also buy carriers that are fully adjustable that allows you to attach other gear with the Molly webbing, such as extra pouches and whatnot. At the end of my career, that's what I had. I had an exterior carrier, had Molly webbing on there, and I had all kinds of shit hanging off me. Had all kinds of crap hanging off me. As far as specific qualities you should look for in armor, you will want the following. Multiple stitching, especially on the attachment points and the seams. This greatly aids in the durability and longevity of your carrier. Now, your carrier, you can wash. Take out the Kevlar, take out the plates, take your Velcro straps, attach them, throw them in the washing machine, and you're going to want to wash them, believe me. Believe me, you're going to want to. Drag handles, so a comrade can help carry you off the battlefield if you're wounded. A drag handle is usually in the back, right back here, back by your neck here. And it's just like a cordura, like a dog leash type. So in case you get knocked down or you're out of the fight, a comrade could come, grab you, and pull you, and you're going. Adjustability. So you can adjust your carrier to your body size and shape. You should be measured for these. Don't just go out and, you should be measured. Both the shoulder straps and the band around your torso and waist should be fully adjustable. That's why they got the elastic. Now it says no elastic. Elastic is a bad choice for carriers because it weakens and your vest will, after extended use, begin to sag, which is true, which exposes vulnerable regions of your body. You must ensure that your plate is always centered over your torso, and both the front plate and the back plate need to mirror one another. That is true. Conclusion is this. You can greatly increase your chances of survival in a combat situation by investing in an armor that has a high enough NIJ rating. Just remember, they should never get too overconfident with the body armor that you wear. It doesn't make you invincible, and it can fail. It's never 100%, so think about that. All right? It's true. It is. It's true. I don't lie to you about that. In fact, for those of you that want to, I'll put that on the Facebook group page, and you'll have that taken care of. All right. What is this? I don't really care. What is this? Yes, I want to close it, you dork. All right. How much time have I got left? Hold on, let me see. I'm trying to keep this at 59 minutes, 50 seconds. Where are we here? I got plenty of time. All right, very good. That's what I wanted to see. Put that back up here. All right. What else are we going to do? What else do I want to talk to you about? Ah, yes, yes, yes. For you patriots out there, I've been following this coup. And it's like it's starting to fall apart. I want to put this to you. This is by Sundance. He put this out today. And it's about our hero, Rosensnake. What you need to understand is this. I think, myself, personally, I think POTUS is much smarter than these people are giving him credit for. I really do. I don't care how he sounds. I don't care if his grammar is off. I don't care. That's not why I hired him. I didn't hire a saint. I hired somebody to run this country and get it together and make it work for the people. So This is what Sundance wrote about Rosensnake. The media were going bananas this morning with proclamations of Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, Rosensnake, Rosenswamp, whatever you want to call him, on the cusp of being fired and headed to the White House. Firing is not how leverage works. I want you to understand this now. According to both President Trump via tweet and Rosensnake via statement, the President and Deputy AG had a meeting last week to discuss the declassification directive. Within that meeting, it is almost certain that part of the conversation circled around Rosenstein being unable to fulfill his responsibilities at the DOJ if the substance of the information underneath the declassification directive was released. Understanding the institutional corruption hidden by the DOJ and the FBI classification redaction, it is predictable that Rosenstein would become the target for Trump media allies and supporters when the circumstances, evidence, and details surrounding the soft coup attempt are exposed. Whether the Deputy Attorney General participated or facilitated the soft coup attempt directly, indirectly, or through willful blindness, there's no way that Rosenstein could stay on. So within that conversation last week, it is almost certain that the DAG, Deputy Attorney General, advanced his resignation if the declassification directive went forward and exposed the usurping details. According to Caitlin Collins and Sarah Carter, both have reported that John Kelly, who had just met with Rosensnake, told Associates this morning that Rosensnake offered his resignation last week. The decision by President Trump not to declassify the information did two things. One, it gave the president leverage over Rosenstein and, by extension, over Mueller. After all, the construct of the special counsel is built upon DOJ, FBI intentional lies, and FISA fraud. Number two, the decision places a heavy burden upon the Inspector General to be brutally honest with his FISA report. If the IG is not brutally honest, Trump releases the declassified information, and the IG is shown as participating in a cover-up. That's leverage, folks. Now, all this leverage makes the position of Rosensnake very tenuous. Now, do you think Rosensnake likes the idea of sitting around waiting for the IG report to show the world how badly he botched the DOJ job and even facilitated their corrupt activity during his stewardship? He made a special counsel investigative appointment from a foundation of fraud, and all this was collateral damage for the political efforts of the prior administration. Think about it. It sucks to be the Deputy Attorney General, and he did it to himself. Yeah, right here, Rosensnake. Look, there's no reason for the White House to fire Rosenstein. His own conduct has put himself in a virtual corner, and there's only one way out. So it's brutally obvious to me, with Trump carrying all of this leverage on Rosenstein, the White House meeting today wasn't about firing him. Statement from the White House on inquiries about Rosensnake. At the request of Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosensnake, he and President Trump had an extended conversation to discuss the recent news stories. Because the President is at the United Nations General Assembly and has a full schedule with leaders from around the world, they will meet on Thursday when the President returns to Washington, D.C. That's from Sarah Sanders, the press secretary. I like her, by the way. Deputy Attorney General Rosensnake's career in the DOJ is over. He's a dead man walking, not because of anything President Trump has done. Rosensnake has put himself into this position. Trump just sort of took the opportunity to hold the political leverage and narrow the path. There's no doubt that the DAG will resign. The question is timing. What moment provides him the least disgraced exit? Well, that's the question. Everything else in his media shiny things, chaff and countermeasures from narrative engineers. Now, let's talk about his, Rosensnake put out a statement on the 21st of September. He says, the New York Times story is inaccurate and factually incorrect. I will not further comment on a story based on anonymous sources who are obviously biased against the department and are advancing their own personal agenda. But let me be clear about this. Based on my personal dealings with the president, there is no basis to invoke the 25th Amendment. End quote. Now, let's talk about the 25th Amendment, okay? To invoke the 25th Amendment is a very high hurdle. You need two-thirds of the cabinet, two-thirds of the Senate, and two-thirds of the House of Representatives to invoke the 25th Amendment. It's a high hurdle, and it should be. So, but getting back to Rosensnake's story, it's very parsed. And there's one, two, three, there's five words in here that we need to discuss. When he says the story is inaccurate and factually incorrect, so let's focus on is inaccurate and factually incorrect. Okay, if it's inaccurate and factually incorrect, it begs the questions. Which parts are accurate and factually correct? He also says, I never pursued or authorized recording the president, or any suggestion that I've ever advocated for the removal of the president is absolutely false. Well, remember, this came from McCabe, who, by the way, is now under grand jury investigation and will more than likely be indicted. So let's think about that for a moment. Is it possible Rosenstein was being sarcastic? It's very possible. Look, I don't think Rosenstein is stupid. No, Rosensnake is not stupid. You don't get to that level being stupid. And it's always best to remember that this. Always think that your enemies are smarter than you are. Otherwise, you get lulled into this thinking that, well, I'm smarter than he is. He can't possibly think of something to do to me. That's just not true. Always better to make him think your enemies are smarter than you are. That makes you the better opponent. Something to think about. And then, of course, let's, for you patriots out there, from Gateway Pundit. John Brennan. Brennan needs to be in federal prison. He knows he should be in federal prison for a multitude of sins. So former CIA director turned Twitter troll John Brennan sounded the alarm Monday evening, urging Rosensnake to stand his ground and wait to be fired. We ain't firing you. We're gonna hold you right in here, and you're gonna dance. You're gonna dance, Rosensnake. The president's gonna be like the marionette master. He's gonna pull the strings, and you're gonna dance and everything else, because we know what's gonna happen. Besides, word I get is that Rosensnake is mentally melting down. All this pressure and everything else, he can't balance it. He's about to lose his mind. So don't be surprised if he... Oh. I just have thought, what if Hillary freaks out and has him wiped out? I don't know. I'm guessing. But Brennan did not call Rosensnake by name. However, his urgent message comes on the heels of multiple reports claiming that Rosensnake has given verbal resignation to Chief of Staff John Kelly following an explosive New York Times report he wanted to wear a wire to oust Trump from office. So according to White House sources, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosensnake is expecting to be fired, so to get ahead of the axe, Rosensnake plans on officially resigning, reported Axios. John Brennan hit the panic button Monday and encouraged officials to stand their ground and wait to be fired. Now, John Brennan says any attempt by the White House to subvert or manipulate law enforcement should be resisted. Rather than resigning, officials should stand their ground and wait to be fired. Resisting abuse of presidential authority is not a policy difference. It's about adhering to the rule of law. John Brennan saying those five words, adhering to the rule of law, is ridiculous. It's a travesty. I can't even think he even said that. All the laws he broke, unbelievable. So Sean Hannity, another prominent conservative voice, has warned President Trump against firing Rosensnake after the New York Times rolled out the report on his secret plans to wear a wire and oust Trump from office. It's a setup, said Hannity, and he's right. It's a setup. That's all it is to it. The deep state is trying to bait Trump into firing Rosensnake to create a Nixon-like Saturday Night Massacre where the Deputy Attorney General, Attorney General, and Special Prosecutor Archibald Cox were fired during the Watergate investigation back in 1973, I believe. John Brennan is panicking because Rosenstein's departure puts Mueller's unconstitutional witch hunt in jeopardy. Now, Rosenstein appointed Mueller in May of 2017 and has been protecting the illegal witch hunt ever since. If Solicitor General Noel Francisco, one of the good guys, takes over the special counsel, the deep state could quickly unravel. Now, Brennan was one of the main players in promoting and leaking stories on Hillary's phony Russia dossier. He's desperate to keep the Mueller and Rosenstein in their positions. He has to, otherwise he's screwed. And personally, I don't care whether he's screwed or not. He's a clown. Where am I? How much time have I got? Oh, I got time. We got time. Anyways, that's where we're at. That's what we're talking about here. Okay, what else have we got here? We got that. What else have I got? Did I get rid of that? Here's another one. Be back in a minute or two. I think. Yeah.
Do you have a wedding, birthday, graduation, holiday party, or other special event coming up? Would you like to impress your friends or coworkers with your own personal bar and bartender? Professional Beverage Service is Northeast Illinois and Southeast Wisconsin's premium beverage service provider. We specialize in providing bars and bar service for all of your event needs. From simple to elegant, a small home party of 25 to a corporate event of 1,000 or more. Need help finding the right appetizers, meals, transportation, DJs, or even hotels? Professional Beverage Service can help with all of your needs. With free event planning services, Professional Beverage Service will make your event a one-of-a-kind, hassle-free success. From big to small, Professional Beverage Service can handle it all. Call 847-899-5594 or go to www.bevservice.com for more details.
All right. Okay, we got some time here. Let's talk about this. How about the 7 best plants for home security? You heard me right. 7 best plants for home security. Yeah, we can do this. I like it. So you got plants for home security. Okay, you read that right. Who wrote this, by the way? I like it. It's interesting. Again, Nicholas Otkin. If you're serious about home security, there are certain plants you will want to grow in your yard, especially in front of your fences and windows. Any serious prepper knows the importance of security and setting up a solid defense plan to resist the inevitable intruders when the grid goes down. But few of those preppers understand the critical role that plants and shrubbery can play in home defense. Now, shrubs and plants have played a role in home and property defense for literally hundreds of years. People usually keep livestock contained, keep predatory cannabis animals out, hedging purposes, or defense against attacks from other people. But of course, that was then. We live in an area where we could have barbed wire fences, electric fences, other kinds of barriers to keep the bad guys out. So are plants still relevant for home security today? And the answer is yes. They are one of the most effective intruder deterrents you can have, and they don't cost a thing. So we're going to talk to you about some of this. This is why you need thorny plants for home security. Burglars often target average suburban homes for a good reason. Most houses are poorly defended, easy to break into. Many of them are a gold mine for valuable items. So grid down scenario, people are desperate for food. Other supplies will be extra motivated to either quietly break into your home or launch an all-out attack, even if they know the house is occupied. So that brings us to 2 main reasons you need plants for home security. One, they deter intruders. Now imagine you're one of these intruders. You have 2 houses you can attack. One is just a typical house surrounded by a green lawn. The other is the same, but it's surrounded by thorny bushes and thickets. Which house would you attack first? That's exactly why you need to have security plants around your house. It makes it far less appealing to intruders. Thorny plants are a natural protective barrier that creates an immediate hostile environment for anyone thinking about launching an attack. 2, they slow down intruders. A simple hedgerow of thorny thickets may not seem like much, but in reality it can go a long way toward discouraging a raiding party. Chances are they'll move on to the next house. And even if they do attack your house, their progress would be significantly impeded, which would give you extra time to either fight back or escape. And for these reasons, you should consider planting some thorny plants. Now, tips for setting up there for home defense plants. Get plants that are thick, tall, and wide. If the intruder can't simply step over through them, they aren't going to do any good. Make sure they're in front of weak spots. For instance, you have a fence that runs around your property. Plant some thorny bushes in front of it, or at least in the corners where someone is more likely to climb over. Now, the best home security plants. Here are the most effective plants for home security. Number one is BlackBerry. Oh, yeah. You want a thorny plant that's going to grow as quickly as possible? The BlackBerry should be one of your top choices. Not one of the most attractive plants, but it can grow to be over 5 feet high in a short amount of time, and it's packed with thorns and prickles that will tear up an attacking party. The biggest downside to the BlackBerry bush is that it grows so quickly you need to dedicate time to pruning and trimming it. As long as you're willing to do that, it's a good choice. Plus, you can still provide some snacks for you. The century plant, number two. Beautiful, yet unforgiving home security plants in existence. Green leaves, century plant is easy to grow. Doing well in hot and dry conditions. Maintenance is relatively hassle-free, and it's rare to suffer from any kind of disease. The century plant is also known as the century plant. The crown of thorns. Euphorbia. Here's a plant with even its name is intimidating. The thorny plant is so named because it is believed to be the plant that was forcibly wrapped over the head of Jesus before his crucifixion 2,000 years ago. The porcupine tomato, also known as the devil's thorn. The porcupine tomato, or solanum, can also grow to be nearly 5 feet tall with massive spikes that are enough to rip through skin. Oh yeah. And like euphorbia, it comes with a deadly sap that is heavily irritating to the skin and can cause severe sickness when ingested. This is another plant that's really going to make burglars turn around and go elsewhere. Number five, the fire thorn. Armed with sharp barbed leaves and poisonous berries, the pred is one of the largest plants on this list. It can grow to an astonishing 20 feet in height. Of course, number six, the rose. Rose bush is well known for thorny branches that cause infection when they pierce the skin. Number seven, the Spanish dagger, Yucca gloriosa. It's native to the southeastern United States, but it grows well in virtually any kind of warm environment. So, conclusion, having a hedge or any one of these plants around your property will serve two purposes. Make the intruder think twice about following through with their plans, and two, has the ability to inflict grievous physical injuries and infections on them if they are stupid enough to proceed anyway. Pretty good stuff. You like that? I do. I think it's pretty cool. I do. Where am I? All right. Well, that's all I've got for right now. So with that said, we got anything else? We are working. Just some side maintenance notes for those of you that are interested in CRN. Some side notes. CRN will be incorporating probably by the 1st of October. There is a board in place. They are people who are volunteering their services. Very knowledgeable people. You know them. You've heard of them. We're doing this because of we're going to be going to KYAH 540 AM in Delta, Utah. And we have a national campaign. Hopefully it's being coordinated prior to that. That date is probably the next 2 to 3 weeks before we actually are on there. As we continue to move forward and move CRN into a more interesting ground. We're also kicking up some different ideas. And I don't know if we're going to pull them off, but they're very interesting, and I just want you to know, stick with us. I think you'll like it. If you're induced, however, you would like to financially give us a hand, that would be great. I'd really appreciate it. You could do it through Patreon. Not Patreon. I got rid of that. Through Podbean, podbean.com. You can become a supporter of the show, of CRN. And the Growing Homestead. I gotta get a hold of Rob. He hasn't done an episode in 2 weeks. He'll be punished for his negligence, I can assure you. And we got the prepper guy, Mark Boyle. He'll be having some other shows coming up too. So, there you go. There it is. This is what's going on. Now you're fully aware of what is happening. It's an exciting time. It's an exciting time. All right. I'm John Jeffress saying thank you for joining me tonight. Hope you enjoyed. Hope you got some information out of this. And I just want you to know that I do appreciate it and humbled by those of you that listen. Oh, by the way, We have, get this, one listener in Russia. You know what? Let's do this. I got time. Let me do this. Let me have some fun here. I think you guys will like it. I do. Let me, What I want to do is, I want to give you, let's see, what are we doing here? Nope, that's wrong. No, let me back it up here. I want to, here? Nope. Here. Here we go. Where did it go? What I want to do is I want to tell you some of the interesting places that our show is being heard now. And I think you'll like it, guys. I really do. I think you'll really like it. Let me see here. What's this? Go here. Here. Dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum. Here we go. Got it. I think you guys will like this. Here's a geography. Let me see. What do we got here? This is for September. We have listeners in Sweden, believe it or not, Sweden. And let's see, what else did I want to hit to real quick here? Canada, Iceland. I was talking about Sweden. Of course, we have Australia. And of course, Ireland, of course, the United Kingdom. That's just from the, and then back in July, is it, what is that? The last 3 months, here you go. Last 3 months, you can add Russia. We have one person in Russia listening to us. Thank you for listening. Keep spreading the word around the planet. That's the way I see it. And then here in the United States, we have listeners in all states except for New Hampshire, Vermont, And I don't understand this. Alabama, Mississippi, Arkansas, Nevada, Wyoming, North, South Dakota, and Montana. Those are the only states in Alaska and Hawaii. Those are the only states we don't have listeners in. And in Canada, we have listeners in Ontario and Alberta. Thank you, Canadian friends. Appreciate you all listening to us. I like that. I think it's very good. But anyways, I just wanted to share that with you. I thought it was interesting. We'll see how interesting it really is, right? Let me think. Anything else? Oh, what's that? Was that one? Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm just checking some islands out in the Pacific, because sometimes we get listeners out, those people out in the middle of nowhere. God help them. God love them. But anyways, I just want to say thanks for listening tonight. Where am I? Here we are. Okay. I appreciate you taking the time out to listen to us. I just wanted to share that with you. CRN's going, we're growing, we're expanding, finally. I have some good people helping me. And you listeners are helping to making it possible. Feel free to share it. It's okay. Let other people know. Because this way, the more people that know how to prep and are prepared, that is one less person knocking on your door when it all goes to hell. It's true. And you know what? As hard as we can be, or we think we can be, we don't want to be put in that position where we have to turn somebody down. Especially if it's one of our neighbors, people we know, say, I'd like to help you, but I can't. But I thought we were friends. Oh, we're friends. And I told you, you need to prep. Tell them about this show. Let them, we got it all archived. They could pick any show they want to listen to. Get them started. Help them get started. One less person knocking on your door, that's one less person you have to turn down. That's me. That's what I think anyways. All right, I'm John Jeffers here at the Jeffers Brief saying thank you for listening tonight. And we'll see you again next week. Or sooner, depending on what happens. Because, you know, something really big happens. Yeah, we'll be here. All right. Thanks again for listening. I'm John Jeffers. Thanks for listening. Good night.